Thursday Night Football with John Giles.
Johnny Giles is a national treasure. When he speaks, I mean, I'm like, yes, yes, yes. When he's on the show, I was in the car the other day. I parked the car and I sprinted into the house and turned on the radio. I love listening to him. I love Johnny Giles.
John Giles, every Thursday at 7:30 p.m. on OTB Sports Radio, live 24/7 on the Go Loud app. The OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
I signed for them after the Euros, and after my first day's training on a driving home, I was actually thinking, regretting it, what have I done? Like I walked into a circus. It's amazing, isn't it?
All right, the tables have turned this morning. Jerry, you're in the hot seat of the analyst, but our number one analyst, Phil Egan, is here as ever. Transfer insider Phil Egan. You're very welcome, both of you folks, for another edition of Deal or No Deal. Let's get straight into it. It's widely reported that Thiago Silva, 35, could be on the way to Chelsea. How did he perform last night? And is he stable enough for Frank Lampard to build around, Phil?
35-year-old, soon to be 36. So by the time the Premier League season starts, he'll be 36. Obviously, he's had a really good career at PSG. And the standout moment for me last night for Thiago Silva is when Robert Lewandowski puts the ball by him and Thiago Silva trips him and then disputes the foul. But it's a one-year deal. That's what they're looking at with Chelsea. And, you know, it's a case of Chelsea lack probably talkers and leaders in that back four or that back three, whatever formation Lampard wants to go with. So it's certainly, it's not one for the future. It's just get him in, get a bit of experience into the centre of defence, because we know Chelsea conceded far too many goals. If they get him in, I don't know, who do they play with him? Who is their best centre half to go alongside Thiago Silva? Obviously, looks like Ben Chilwell is coming in. That sorts out the problem at left back. Right back, you've got options there. Obviously, Aspilicueta, you can play Reece James as well. So it's one, it's either like Rudiger. I always thought Rudiger was their best centre half, but his confidence looks shot, and they still haven't talked about bringing in a new goalkeeper. So bringing in Thiago Silva is not going to solve all their problems. It solves one of their problems, maybe, that you look at Chelsea, they concede a lot of goals from set pieces. But I think that comes down to the keeper as well. So, you know, he has been a PSG up until last night, and they were the best defence in the Champions League. So, you know, he is the captain of that team. He is the marshal of that defence. So that has to count for something. But certainly his best days are behind him. But maybe one season mightn't be the worst idea. Saying that, you know, players can look quite old quite soon, so we don't know what he'd be like in the Premier League. I'm surprised. I thought there was a lot of talk that he'd go to Serie A. I thought maybe it's a league he played in before, maybe he'd go back, but Chelsea looks like they're going to get this done.
Arsenal target Philippe Coutinho refused to rule out a move away from Barcelona after lifting the Champions League for Bayern Munich. Mundo Deportivo report that Ronald Koeman wants him to stay to be part of his plans at the Camp Nou. What did we learn about him in the Champions League run-in, and what impact would he make at Arsenal?
I think with Coutinho, the best you're going to see of Coutinho is when he plays regularly. So, you know, he's coming off the bench in these games. He was scoring goals. He was setting up goals. And, you know, he had a decent chance from a free kick last night. I actually think back to, he scored a stunning free kick for Liverpool against Arsenal on the opening day of the season, on the opening weekend of the season a few seasons back. It was when Mane made his debut for Liverpool as well, and Coutinho put one in the top corner at the Emirates. And maybe a more confident Coutinho last night would have threatened the Keylor Navas in the PSG goal. But yeah, if he's playing regularly, then you start to see the best of Philippe Coutinho. But if you think back to when he left Liverpool, obviously Liverpool got a huge transfer fee for him. But you have to ask, has it been a success for Coutinho to get away from Liverpool in terms of individual honours? He's won two Spanish league titles. He's won a Bundesliga title. He's won a treble now with Bayern Munich, including the Champions League. He won a Copa del Rey. So he's got all the honours, but he hasn't been a regular for either Barcelona or Bayern Munich. He needs to be playing regular to get the best out of him. And if you do get regular football into Philippe Coutinho's legs, then Arsenal certainly will be the better for it.
Jerry, this one is for you. Premier League survivors Aston Villa are being linked with a £30 million deal for Celtic striker Odson Edouard. He netted 26 times for the Celts, but would he make an impact south of the border?
I think if you look at the players who've moved from Celtic recently to the Premier League, some of them have done okay, you know. I think Kieran Tierney's starting to come good, and I think Virgil's obviously been a sensation. And I know that Celtic don't expect to have him playing for them whenever the transfer window closes, that he will be gone, that there are enough Premier League teams who are looking at it. I don't know how he performed in the European games. I'd like to see the split of SPL versus European games. But like Villa need goals. I think they're just going to be better by virtue of the fact that, let's assume that they keep Grealish, that there'll be players back from injury who they bought at the start of the year. And then some of those players who they've had will actually have a year's Premier League experience behind them as well. There's depth there. It's just very shallow. It's wide, but it's shallow. In terms of the depth, there's a lot of bodies, but it's not, none of them are that good. So spend the money. Keep spending the money until you find somebody. Because if you find somebody who's going to score goals in the Premier League, suddenly they go from 30 million to 50 million. I do wonder why there aren't more of those middle-tier Premier League teams who aren't in for players who, like Coutinho, who are out and available on a loan deal. Like, why is it only the teams in 5th to 8th who are able to do it? Why can't he sign for Villa?
That's a good point. Well, like, we haven't had a Premier League signing that kind of feels like a bit of a coup for a mid-table to low reaches of the table side for a while, or somebody who's just coming off their peak, or maybe even well past their peak. I'm talking about an Esteban Cambiaso-esque signing, a sort of huge name midfielder who comes in and it's like, whoa, what happened to that guy? Oh, he's actually playing really well for Aston Villa. Like,
Tevez and Mascherano to West Ham. That's what I'm talking about. That's the level of ambition you want to have. That didn't work out very well. Nearly, got them relegated for legal reasons as much as anything. And they both played crap, except for Tevez, for like 3 weeks at the end of the year. But that type of ambition is what you want.
Your two pieces of advice this morning are keep spending money until you find somebody and have the levels of ambition that was basically a massive legal case.
Three Europa League goals, apparently, for Edouard.
We are being told that Jadon Sancho to Manchester United is dead. Is there any excuse for not paying up for the rising English star?
Well, I'll tell you, if there isn't an excuse, there's going to be plenty of excuses if things don't start well for United. This is the problem, that if United don't hit the ground running, and obviously we know they're not playing on the opening weekend because of their involvement in the latter stages of the Europa League, but as soon as things start to go wrong, or if you have a few bad results, then all of a sudden the name Jadon Sancho comes up more and more. Obviously, this was a deal that a few weeks ago looked like it was going to get done, and they didn't get to that deadline of the 10th of August, which Borussia Dortmund had set. So now it drags on, and it looks like it's not going to happen. And we know how good he is. And if United don't hit the ground running, then United supporters, people will start questioning Ed Woodward, and he'll have to answer those questions and explain why they didn't feel Jadon Sancho was worth the money. It's a lot of money, but as we've said on this show regularly, it's not as if it's all up front. It's in installments. Manchester United have the money, but they obviously feel that it's too much, that 120 is too much, that they feel like they're being made fools of by having to fork out that kind of money. But as I said, if they have the money and he makes them a better team, I think you got to spend the cash.
Final one this morning, and it's a juicy one. Sorry, Jerry, do you want to come in on that one?
Yeah, at some point, it's actually not a lot of money when you think about it. It's not really that you're paying that 120 million. It's the difference between 100 and 120, and it's 20 million. And that 20 million is Daniel James or somebody like that, who is going to be a fringe player in the team. So what's the opportunity cost in signing Jadon Sancho versus what's the opportunity cost in not signing him? And the opportunity cost is that you don't suddenly become a team who can compete in the two major competitions that you're going to be in next year. Sign him, spend that money. This isn't like Harry Maguire, where you're not sure if he's going to be good enough. This is somebody who is a decade ahead of him at the peak of his career, whose athletic profile is perfect for what you're trying to do, who could be a replacement for one of your front three if anybody ever wants to sign them at some point. Spend the money. This is your time. Spend the money.
I'm with you. I think so. I think that no matter what you get him at the moment, it's going to look like a snip in a little while. According to reports, Barcelona club president candidate hopeful Jordi Farré says the club has had talks with Jurgen Klopp's representatives about managing the side in the future. Whether the story is true or not, we're going to talk about it. Can you see it happening at some point? And what would a Klopp-Barca team look like?
When they say that they talked to his representatives, did they just leave a voicemail? Just does that count as talking to his representatives?
They tweeted at Jurgen Klopp, "You up?" That was what they texted. That was what they tweeted.
They, this is the fact that he's trying to become the next president. Let's promise everything, and maybe they'll vote me in. But yeah, this is when I saw this story, it was one of those that I just thought, I knew when Koeman was appointed. I did say last week I kind of expected some of the Dutch players in the Liverpool squad to be linked with Barcelona. I certainly didn't think the Klopp link would come in, but I think Liverpool fans, when they would have seen this story, would have just had a bit of a smile and thought, I don't think there's any truth in that at all.
Wow, how the tables have turned from trying to write new clauses into your contract so that Barcelona can't actually grab your players to Phil Egan sitting here with a smug smile on his face saying Liverpool fans will have a little smile at that. That's it for Deal or No Deal this morning.
For the Euros, and after my first day's training, I was driving home. I was actually thinking,
regretting it.
What have I done? It was like I walked into a circus.
It's amazing, isn't it?
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.